Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
So I joined the key of my life. light that shines over everyone. We look to you, we long for you, oh Lord. We behold the rising sun, the earth awakes, the hope has come. We look to you, we long for you. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is.
You're unchanging, you're unshakable. Can we introduce a new song to you guys? All right, let's have some fun with this one.
Song is a workout. That's a workout. So how are you guys doing? You know, I enjoy speaking. It's every son's dream to preach when his mom and sister have to listen to him. Because I have the microphone and they don't, so they have to listen to me. Love you, Mom. Hi, sis. So if you're watching on live stream, welcome. If you're listening on radio, welcome. So I'm Pastor Kerwin, and I get the pleasure of bringing the message to you. I'm a person that needs visual aid, so I'm going to ask my friend Jeremy, where's Jeremy at? And Jen, can I get your help too? And they're going to bring up some visual aids for you guys. So this morning I'm going to talk about our decisions that we make and growing in our faith. Is that okay with you guys? So just come on up. There we go. I'm putting these guys to work. So we're going to put the metal one on this side, or this one on the side, with the steps facing inside. There you go. And then, Jenny, you're over here on this side. Perfect. We're good. Thank you. All right. Now we're good. Okay, decision making. The average person, according to psychologists, makes 10,000 decisions every day. Think about that. They say an average person makes 10,000 decisions every single day. Now, I know there's probably a few in here that go, psh, I make 30,000 decisions every day. If you're a guy like me, I make like five. So it averages out, and especially if you're married, we all know the guys make a third of the decisions that the wife makes, right? We know that. It's okay. So 10,000 decisions every single day. Well, this morning we're going to talk about some bad decisions, some good decisions. Last week, I was not here. I was in the North Woods hunting deer. And I go to a certain deer stand every opening day. Every opening day. So my father-in-law's got a bunch of land. I got some bunch of stands on it. And my wife thinks I have way too many stands. But you can never have enough deer stands. And I go to this one stand every single opening day of deer season in Wisconsin. Well, I woke up Saturday morning, because you guys open, I think, on Friday, but we open on Saturday up there. And I checked the wind. Checked the weather. Checked the wind multiple times. And I go, man, that stand is not going to work with the wind direction, with everything that's going on. And it was very warm last weekend. You know, warm meaning, you know, above 30 for deer season is not good. How many of you guys know that? So anyway, I make a decision. I go to that stand. How many deer did I come home with? Zero. Zero. And I'm like, obviously I did not go to the right decision, or I did not go to the right stand. And so, with that said, we're going to talk about how many bad decisions we make. Now, we all make bad decisions. We all have regrets. We all, you know, just say, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have said that. Or I wish I hadn't done that. We all go through those times. So this morning, we're going to look at some scripture about Simon Peter. We all know this guy. We know his story. A lot of us do anyway. But go ahead, open up your Bibles or look on the screens. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, when Jesus is actually calling his first disciples. So it goes like this. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water so that he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now, we all know if you spend time on the water, you know sound carries. Jesus, being the amazing teacher that he was, he knows this. and he let the water carry the sound to all these people. It goes on. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it was deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish." I love this next part. "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boats, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partner James and John, the son of Zebedee, were also amazed. Let me just stop right there. You guys hear what Simon just said? He says, "Master, I am such a sinful man." But what does Jesus respond to him? It says, Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. Everything. And for the next three and a half years, they had a front row seat to all the things that Jesus did, all the miracles that he did, all the people that he interacted with, how the Sadducees and the religious people of that day, how they treated Jesus. They had a front row seat. You know what I would have loved to have been? You know, the term fly on the wall. You guys have heard that term. Like, when they're traveling and from one city to the next, and, you know, they're camping out over the campfire, it would have been fun to just listen to their conversations with Jesus. When it's just the 12 disciples and Jesus, it would have been fun to just hear how Jesus probably was teaching them and speaking into their lives. And because, you know, the first thing is, Simon said, "Hey, I'm a sinful man." And yet, Jesus called him. The beauty about Christ is that he's just calling us. Sinful people. There's no plan B. We're to grow the church through us. There's no plan B. It's us or nothing. So, I always like to play devil's advocate, though, sometimes. Anyone else like to do that sometimes? All right, I'm the only devil advocate. I get it. But what if Peter said, "You know what? I'm good." What if Peter, or what if Simon, in this case, what if Simon just said, "You know what? You know what, Lord? I'm good. I'm happy." You know, he's in a pub talking to his buddies. And he says, "You know what? Great story. Caught a lot of fish. All that fish that I caught, I can now buy my own boat. I can buy a business. Maybe I can buy more things to make my business better." How many of us, maybe Peter would have been just happy and content just to be on this side, not realizing that Jesus had so much more. A lot of us are in that position as well. You know, we're happy with our life. We're happy with where we are. We have our college degrees. We have our dream house. According to my daughter, a second house in Hawaii would be nice. I would just take the first house in Hawaii. You know, a lot of us are happy with our jobs. We're content. This, you can only go so high. You're happy. Some of us do this part. I needed to stretch before the sermon. Some of us like to keep one foot in the world. And, okay, we'll go to church on Christmas and Easter only. But that's good enough for us. I don't want to step on any toes, but I'm probably going to. Some of us, you know what? I'm good. I'm happy where I am. But you know what? Maybe I'll give into go on a mission trip and do this. But at some point, you end up like this. Not a good spot. Not a good position. So I'm going to get down. So my point is this. Some people, they want to go after those mountaintop experiences. They don't want to go through steps to get up there. They want to, if this is growing in your faith and growing in Christ, they want to skip step one and two and just go right up. You know, how many people have attended a conference where you come away and you're just like, man, that was so amazing. The speaker was great. The worship was great. And you had all the goosebumps for those couple days, but then you're like, hard to sustain it. It's like going to church camp. You get all these goose feelings and feel all good, but it's hard to sustain that. Then they go to another conference and great speaker and great worship. And they're always looking for that next great thing. Again, I'm going to step on some toes. It's something like that with church hopping. They're looking for the next great church. I'll tell you what, Mount Carroll Church of God is not perfect. Yep, I said that. But if any church says they're perfect, run. Run. Because we're made of sinful people. You know, I have an atheist friend up north. And his claim is that, you know, Christians are the worst thing. You know, the hypocrisy that Christians have, the they don't live out their faith. It, you know, how they, you know, how many times, again, I'm going to step on toes. You got that fish symbol on the back bumper, but yet you're passing everyone and doing 90. Now, in Chicago, that's okay, because that's, like, if you don't go 90, you're a hazard. But how many of us know that person that has the fish symbol on the back bumper, but they're going way, way, way super fast? So why am I talking about that today? Because I see a lot of similarities between Simon and us. So that was the beginning of Simon's ministry. A sinful man. But Simon, we know, turns his name into Peter. And in Matthew 16, I do believe it's verse 18, that he actually says to Jesus, talking to Simon, your name is now Peter, and you are a rock in which I will build my church on. So, obviously, Peter has grown in his faith, has grown as a believer in Christ. I mean, if you spend 3 years with Jesus, how do you not? How do you not? But then we fast forward about 40 years. So Jesus died, rose again, and has now ascended to heaven. And we know that Peter has two more books that he wrote. And so, Jeremy, as you come up here, I'm going to have my friend Jeremy help. So if you fast forward to 2 Peter, let me back up just a little bit. So 1 Peter, we know that he wrote to, basically, let me back up again, a little bit, history lesson. So Nero was on the throne in Rome, and right around that 60 AD, about 60 AD, I mean, Christians are being persecuted left and right. They're like, they are being just massacred. So they're scattered. They are scattered. And so Peter writes his first book, if you read it, to all the people that are scattered among Asia, Asia Minor, all these other parts of the world. And then in the second book, he writes this in chapter 1. He is writing to, I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So, 2 Peter, he's writing basically to us. You guys see that? So first book he wrote to all the Christians that were scattered among out in Asia. Then the second book, he's basically writing to anyone who shares his faith. So, but he goes on, like, how do you grow your faith? You have to make a decision today. Well, maybe not just now, but after I'm done, you'll have some decisions to make. But he goes on how do you grow your faith? You have to choose something, all right? So, this ladder here represents our Christian walk and growing our faith. You see this brace? If I'm going to go up this ladder, I need help. This is why I have Jeremy up here. He's strong enough that he promises that if I fall, he'll catch me. Right? You want to come over on this side and grab this? So I'm going to go through some steps of how you can grow your faith. And this is not an exhaustive list, and I'll go over that a little bit later here. So in 2 Peter, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. So Peter knows that his time on earth is coming to a close pretty soon. I mean, it's been 40 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. So he knows. So he says this, moral excellence. That's a good way to start. Moral excellence. Then he goes on to say, and moral excellence with knowledge. Well, knowledge is getting into the Bible and knowing who you are in Christ. All right? And then he goes on to say, after that, moral excellence with knowledge and knowledge with self-control. Self-control. Now, I bet you never thought I'd preach from a ladder, right? Self-control. The question is this. What are you watching on Netflix, YouTube, Disney Plus, Hulu? Can you watch with Jesus in the room? Because he is. And then he goes on to say this, self-control and then self-control with patience. Patience. I'd like to see Tim up here. Patience. How many of us struggle with patience? Whether we're driving, whether we're with our kids, whether we're... I mean, kids don't push our patience, do they? No, of course not. Try having a teenage daughter. And then he goes on to say this. Patient endurance, and then patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection. Steps. I was going to sit up here, but I'm not going to. This is high enough. But godliness, and then if you read on, it goes then on to brotherly love. See, the thing is, if you take the time to do some of these steps, you actually have perspective to look back on where we were at one time in our life. You know, if you start doing these steps, you can look back and say, you know what? I was a sinful man. But as I have accepted Christ, this is the way that I grow my faith. This is not an exhaustive list, though. You know, there's other times. I'm going to come back down because it's safer down here. Thank you, Jeremy. You can, yeah, you can, you're good right now, just, you're good. So, other things that help you grow in your faith is having a friend or your spouse that can come alongside you, build you up, encourage you. It's all about doing life together. See, the thing is, you're not alone as you go through your walk. Now, my friend Jeremy was there, catch me if I fall, to stabilize my life, the ladder, but you see the symbolism in there? He came alongside. He's like, okay, I got you. Now, I have Jeremy, but you guys have to get your own Jeremy. All right? I get him. Sorry, Jen. So, find someone that is like-minded that can build you up in your faith as well as you can build them up in their faith. Find that like-minded person. The thing is this. In verse 8 of 2 Peter 1, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to this. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a new person. You don't have to continually doubt whether or not you are saved. See, the people that forget that they're saved are short-sighted, blind even. But if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you need to start growing in your faith. Okay? Because if you just stay in that one spot of, okay, I'm saved, woohoo! But you stay there, you're like this person. There's a limit. You got to start growing. And after what God has for you. So, again, we know that Peter knows that his life is coming to an end. And they think it's like around 63 to 68 AD is when Peter was actually crucified. He was so unworthy to be crucified like Christ that he actually was crucified upside down at his request. Think about that. He was so unworthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was, that he actually requested to be crucified upside down. That's crazy. Can't even imagine that. So how do I want to finish this morning? If you move ahead to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, we have Peter's, it's even in my Bible, it says Peter's final words. He knows his end is in sight. And he says to this, you already know these things, dear friends, the things that we just talked about of growing your faith. Be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. That's like kind of speaks to us today. I mean, how many times have people been led astray during these times? See, if you are secure in who you are, moral excellence, you know, knowledge, self-control, patience. If you're secure in who you are in Christ, then you will not be led astray. But I'll tell you what, and this is where you have to make a decision. You have to decide whether or not you're going to do that, whether you're going to go after the things that this Bible says. You have to decide that because you can't live in both worlds. You can't. Peter goes on to say, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. His final words before he goes to Rome and is crucified upside down is to grow. So, as Jeremy and Jen take down the ladders here and the worship team comes forward, I'm going to ask you this, the decision you make. Are you willing to get up 5 minutes earlier before work and spend time in the scripture? Are you willing to go after the things of Christ? Or are you willing to just sit there and spend time watching YouTube and Netflix and, you know what? That Bible that's sitting on your end table, it can wait. I just want to veg. Guess what? I've been there. I've done that. I'm not like speaking just to you. That's me too. I love a good Netflix documentary. Who doesn't, right? I just watched a good one on Yogi Berra. It's really good. Anyway, with that said, you have a decision. You know, when I was in college, I was a part of a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I knew that I needed to get into Scripture. I knew that I needed to get into the Word. But through this organization, they introduced this thing called quiet time. And I'm like, well, what's quiet time? I don't understand that. You know, I've been in church all my life and, you know, what's this quiet time? And it's just simply quiet time. It's spending time just quiet, read scripture, and then just sit there. It's very hard to do. But I want to encourage you, try it. Don't have your phone. Don't have music playing. Find a quiet time, a space, wherever you are, and just spend time with scripture, and then listening to what God has to say to you. See, you have a decision to make this morning. I choose to follow Christ, and I hope you guys do that too. So let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, and we choose you because you are worthy of our praise. You are so good to us. And Lord, we just say thank you that we can just go after you. Father, we just pray that you would just touch our hearts this morning, that you would just meet us where we're at, and that you would encourage us in your own sweet, special way, that we would just grow in your faith. So, Father, we just give it all to you this morning. Thank you, Father. Amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within, give This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. And all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
You know, when John picked these songs, he had no idea what I was speaking on. I think it's always amazing how God makes that happen, where the topic of whatever, who's ever speaking, the song has really matched that. Because that's my wish for you guys, that Lord would have his way in you, in me. So, you have to choose. I hope you choose Christ. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week, and we will see you next week.
2, 3, 4.
I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive a king. I know that love has come, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.